What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I am Jamie Dodd. Drancer will be in and out of the show today. We're going to connect with him momentarily here in Nashville. He's at practice for the Canucks. They just took the ice down in Nashville. He'll do his post-practice interviews and all that. Then he'll join the show on a more full-time basis a little bit later on, maybe around 12:30. But I'm here for the duration, 11 to 2. We got lots of guests coming up as well. Sat will join us, Brendan Batchelor, also Shayna Goldman later on in the show. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. I am coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can get your thoughts in now. Hit me up, 650, 650. Any questions you have? How you feeling? With one more day to go before Game 6 between the Canucks and the Nashville Predators down in Nashville. And before I get into the whiteboard here, we can do an early vibes check from Canucks practice. JT Miller, and this is per our colleague Dan Murphy, Murph at Sportsnet, says JT Miller took to the ice wearing Artur Shelov's dress shirt. It's a peach/salmon paisley type of thing. Shelov's was a little surprised to see it being used as a practice jersey. So, yes, JT Miller on the ice in practice wearing Artur Shelov's peach/salmon paisley dress shirt with a little bit of a pattern going on there as well. So, JT Miller keeping things light down in Nashville for the Vancouver Canucks. And it's a thing. It's a good thing to see, right? Because let's not forget, as much as for all the consternation and the worry and the fretting about the lines and Elias Pettersson over the last, 48 hours here, the Canucks are still up in this series. They still have two chances to close this one out. They are still in the stronger position in this series. Yes, it was a massive missed opportunity not to win Game 5 at home, not to wrap things up right then. Of course it was. They were leading in the third period. They couldn't hold on. That hurts. But that doesn't mean the series is over. They're still far and away the favorites to advance here. And I think this is a good sign from JT Miller. Keeping things light, breaking the tension a little bit, kind of reminding everyone, hey, we're fine. We're absolutely fine. We got two more chances at this. They've already won twice in Nashville. Of course, they didn't play their best games in games 3 and 4, but they came away with two victories. And I think this is exactly the right attitude to have. Rick Tocchet even spoke about it yesterday a little bit, right? Hey, sometimes in those closeout games, you get a little too in your mind. You're pushing the envelope a little too much, and that can lead to some bad habits creeping in. I think keeping the vibe light, keeping the mood light, reminding everyone we can be just fine in this series, I think that's a great thing to see from JT Miller down at Canucks practice. All right, without further ado, let's start the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, May 2nd. We'll start with the headlines, which, of course, is the Canucks practicing in Nashville ahead of tomorrow's Game 6. Now, Drancer's going to call in here in just a couple of minutes' time. There's been, we're always curious to see what kind of lineup Rick Tocchet rolls out at practice, especially coming off a loss in the playoffs. I feel like there's been even more speculation and curiosity about a potential lineup change today. So without further ado, let's go to Thomas Drance live at practice in Nashville. Drancer, what's going on, man?
Hey, so Canucks took the ice, and based on the color coding, right, to go all Dan Brown on this, just reading between the lines of the color coding of the jerseys, because we've yet to see a drill in which they've shown their lineup, it looks like the Canucks are practicing with the exact same lines that they used the other night. A big tell is they have first and fourth line all in green, and it's Lafferty, DiGiuseppe, Bluger, mm-hmm. Besser, Suter, and Miller. So Miller, by the way, having ditched Shelov's pink dress shirt, which he took to the ice with originally to begin practice, which, honestly, you love to see stuff like that just because there could be a lot of pressure on this team right now, right? Yep. You sort of lose that opportunity. Maybe you feel like with some of the commentary back and forth, whether it's, about the refereeing, whether it's about you know, Roman Josi, we knew they didn't want to come back for game six. You know, this just kind of changes the conversation. Like, who are media hacks like me going to ask for right away now in the Canucks locker room? Is it struggling Elias Pettersson? Is it Philip Peronic and Quinn Hughes? Not that we ever asked for Philip Peronic. Or is it JT Miller because we want to talk about some weird salmon print PJ-looking thing? Like, he literally took the ice looking like PJ's Miller today. I mean, that's exactly the sort of thing that, you know, the media eats up and then is about a team that's, like, keeping it loose.
Yep.
And is still confident. And so, you know, it's one of those, like, I remember Tanner Pearson once described the style of play that he played with Miller and Besser as smart, stupid hockey, right? It's like it's a smart, stupid distraction that I think soaks up some oxygen, lightens the mood, and kind of in some ways takes some bullets, like throws a protective covering over some teammates who might otherwise be asked tough questions today, including, by the way, as simple as like Canucks goaltenders. How do you prepare? Do you know if you're the starter, right? Like, now the questions for Seelovs aren't, are you in tomorrow, right? It's, how do you feel about a teammate taking the ice in your shirt at practice? And I mean, it's little stuff, but I do think it matters, especially with sort of the vibe and aura that's kind of hovered around the series.
Well, and I think it's an important reminder, and I opened the show kind of commenting on this, like, they are still up in the series. And as much as it was frustrating and it was a missed opportunity in game five, which is absolutely true, it would have been amazing to see them close that one out at home with the lead in the third period. I think it's a good reminder from JT Miller, like, hey, it's not panic time, guys. We actually still have the lead in the series. We are in the much stronger position in this one. I think it's a good reminder for the team. It's a good reminder for everyone watching this series.
Yeah, and definitely it's not panic time. You can't panic in a seven-game series. I mean, the way that this series has gone is, you know, the at the end of the day, these games are so close. The lack of daylight between the two groups, you know, yeah, is it a little nerve-wracking going into a game six if you feel like it's a almost perfect 50-50 proposition if the gambling line considers the Canucks to be a slight road underdog? Like, yeah, sure. Obviously, you would have loved to finish this series off and avoided the travel and avoided the additional, you know, 72 to 96 hours in Nashville. But the, you know, fact remains is that you have two shots here. You have two shots. You've won both of the previous games in Nashville. You know that your crowd is going to be, you know, livid, excited, a huge edge for you in game seven if it comes to that. Just got to win one of two weighted coin flips here. That's it. And so, you know, don't panic because that would not be helpful, right? You just have to find a way to get one more win in two more tries against the Preds.
Okay, I'll let you get back in just a second here, but as you mentioned, looks like no lineup changes, and I was just saying before you came on, I feel like there's been even more curiosity about potential lineup changes than usual from this fan base and from our listeners, like, right, what would they change? How would he do it? Would he keep it the same? As you're reporting, at least to practice today, same lines they've been using since they bumped Ilya Mikheyev up.
Just to be clear, we haven't seen lines at drills, but reading between the lines of what everyone's wearing jersey-wise, like, you know, Garland, Joshua, and Lindholm are all in blue. So are Mikheyev, Pettersson, and Hoglander.
So
if there's a scramble, it would require the scramble to be solely isolated to those two lines, right? And solely isolated to the first and the fourth line, which is hard to imagine. So I can see now that the defense pairs are the same, that we're beginning to see that in drills. I'm yet to see, like, line rushes or something that would reveal the exact precise lineup. But safe bet that unless, you know, Miller puts Seelovs his shirt back on and two more pink-clad wingers rush on the ice to play with him, that at least for practice, the Canucks are practicing with the same lineup that they've used throughout this series.
Okay, so with those caveats in mind, how do you interpret, again, assuming that it is, in fact, the same lineup, which you're reading between the lines to suggest that it probably will be, if that is the case, how do you interpret that decision from Rutaket?
Well, I think I interpret that decision as, you know, Tocchet perhaps wanting to, like, positively reinforce that, like, we were right there. In fact, we probably deserved better in Game 5. We just need to do the same stuff that we've been doing. Faith that he can get some supporting offense from the bottom six without weakening his top six. And, you know, I think that's for whatever reason, it seems like both of these coaches have been comfortable with the coin flip dynamic that's existed throughout this series. Neither has tried to sort of reload the die, as it were, to fundamentally alter the environment that we've seen in games 1 through 5 so far. And that's been, you know, very little margin separating these teams. And Tocchet seems to be comfortable with that. I will see the line shortly, so our listeners can stay tuned to my Twitter feed. I will obviously tweet it out the moment the Canucks show it in full at practice.
All right, appreciate this, man. I'll let you get back to practice, and you'll join the show a little bit later.
I will join as quickly as I can. So I'll
Very
rush
exciting.
Home, and I'll just text our producers and jump on the line when I'm set, bud.
All right, sounds good. All right, that's Drancer down in Nashville, filling us in really quickly on what he's seeing as the Canucks take the ice in Nashville for practice. And, you know, of course, the two big storylines coming out of it now, JT Miller wearing Artur Shilov's pink shirt. And as far as we can see, and I'll keep my eyes peeled on Drancer's Twitter feed as well to see if we get an update. But based on the jersey colors, doesn't look like the Canucks are going to make any lineup changes, at least to practice. You never know if they throw a curveball in game day skate tomorrow, in warmups tomorrow, and they actually do put a new configuration out there, but looks like it's probably going to remain the same. And, you know, as I talked about on the show yesterday, I can't say that would be a big surprise because they played probably their best game of the series in Game 5. Rick Tocchet has hammered over and over again that they just need to execute a little better. But the series is there for them. The games are there for them. I think it would have been a little surprising to take, you know, one really close loss where you had the lead in the third period and all of a sudden throw the lines in a blender as a result of that. And I do think, you know, as much as the JT Miller wearing Artur Shilov's shirt thing is just kind of this fun, goofy story on the morning of practice. Like, I actually think there's a similar message going on between Miller doing that and Rick Tocchet keeping the lines the same, which is, as I was saying earlier in the show, like, hey, guys, we're going to be fine. We don't need to be panicking. We don't need to be stressed about this. We've won 3 games in this series. We can win one more. I'm not saying it's in the bag. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Closeout games are hard. That crowd in Nashville, you'd expect to turn in a really good performance in Game 6. Nashville's a good team. They're well-coached. All of that. It's going to be tough, but they can do it. And I think Tocchet and JT Miller both kind of providing that reminder to the team, to the fan base, I think, a little bit as well. Hey, guys, we're fine. We're just fine. Yes, we're back in Nashville, but we've already won 2 games here. We can do it again. Brendan texts in, hammer the Canucks tomorrow. JT's keeping everyone loose and keeping things light. Love it. Great leader. It is a good reminder that there's a lot of different forms of leadership, right? I think so often in hockey, we think of being a great leader as like being a hard ass, you know, Captain Serious, right? Nathan McKinnon, Jonathan Toews. We've all heard the stories about Nathan McKinnon. And look, hey, he's won a cup. It's worked. He takes things very, very seriously. There's certainly a role for that in the NHL, but there's a role for lightening the mood as well. There's a role for, as Drancer said, being the guy who does something a little goofy, gets all eyes on him, changes the talking points, gets the media to start talking about that instead of anything else, gets all the focus on that instead of any of the potential negatives. That's absolutely a feature of leadership. And, you know, we've talked so often about how JT Miller is the emotional barometer for this team, and usually we think about that as him raising the intensity of the emotions, right? Dragging his team into the fight. How many times have we used that expression about JT Miller? This is an important part of it, though, as well. Hey, if there's any fear of nerves creeping in a little bit, lighten the mood. Puncture that anxiety a little bit. That's another way of being the emotional barometer, being the emotional leader of the team. Chet and Burnaby text in, the team is always a reflection of the coach. Tocchet likes a calm, controlled team, but are the Canucks a bit too calm right now? Do they need to push it harder now? That's from Chet and Burnaby. I haven't seen a team that I think has been playing with a lack of urgency. I think the urgency has been there. It hasn't always been effective, but I don't think it's been from being too calm, from being too complacent, anything like that. I think it's really hard for... It's really hard to consistently outplay a team like the Nashville Predators, you know, over 5-6 games in a series. And I think that's what's been reflected more of anything else. I don't think it's a calmness, you know, the problem of them being too calm, a problem of not using enough desperation, anything like that. I just think to echo Rick Tocchet, I think it comes down to execution more than anything else. And I think Tocchet's right, frankly, to try to keep the group as calm as possible. I thought it was really illuminating yesterday when he said, you know what, sometimes you let that sense of desperation in a closeout game, even when you're up, even when it's not an elimination game for you, you let that sense of desperation creep in a little too much. You try to push the envelope too much in a closeout game, is what he said, and things start to go against you. You start giving up odd man rushes. You start taking penalties. We saw that a little bit in game five when the game started to get away from them after that great first period. So I don't think it's a problem of a lack of urgency. Now, there's a very fine line, I understand here, right? Because you have to bring that intensity, you have to bring that energy, but you have to keep it on the positive side. And that's hard to do. That's one of the things that I think comes most easily with playoff experience, is learning how to play with a sense of desperation without tipping over into the bad desperation that Rick Tocchet is talking about. And I think JT Miller just trying to keep his team, Rick Tocchet trying to keep his team on the right side of the line going in to game six. Quinn texts in, shades of Phil Kessel challenging Rick Tocchet to a chin-up contest the morning of game seven between Pittsburgh and Washington in 2017. That's a good pull. Yeah, sometimes you just need something, a different thing to talk about. Something different to focus on, a laugh. The team knows, like, any concern about, oh, they're not taking it seriously, the team knows this is serious business. You're allowed to have fun. And I think shout out to JT Miller for bringing that sense of fun to the Canucks practice. Okay, we'll have a chance throughout the course of the show to get into, you know, anything else we learn from Canucks practice, the lack of changes to the lineup, which it looks like, as reported by Drance, is what we're going to see down at practice in Nashville. Other headlines, and of course, this is an important one. The Edmonton Oilers officially take care of business against the LA Kings. They advance in five games, so they are now sitting and waiting for the winner of this series between the Canucks and the Predators. I think we'd all kind of seen the writing on the wall in that regard. No big surprise here, but yeah, there you go. It is official now. The Oilers are just cooling their heels. They got their feet up. They're praying for a game seven, and with that officially in the books right now, it becomes even more important for the Canucks to take care of business if they can in game six. There's a lot of reasons you don't want to risk a game seven. There's a lot of reasons you don't want to put yourself through that this early in the playoffs. But number one is the Oilers are done. They're resting. You want to give yourself as much breathing room as possible between a potential series with the Oilers and the end of this series. And if you go to a game seven, who knows how long that turnaround is going to be. It could be very, very quick that you could go from the emotions of a game seven to all of a sudden turning around and having to prepare and host a really, really good Oilers team that's been resting for a bunch of days. That's a tough situation to be in. A very tough situation to be in. The Canucks got to do everything in their power to avoid that. Because, yeah, that Oilers team is scary good, man. They are really, really good. I'm not going to start doing a series preview or anything like that. We got to see how this one plays out between the Canucks and the Nashville Predators. But, again, a big headline regarding this series is officially the Oilers have won. They've advanced. They're going to play the winner of the Canucks and the Nashville Predators. I'll throw this in the broadsheet. It's a little outside the normal gambit of the broadsheet, but Preds coach Andrew Burnett today saying after practice that the Preds dealing with a little bit of the flu. Luke Shen, of course, missed last game because he was sick. He said he's still kind of dealing with it, might be day to day, but might be good to go tomorrow. Now, in his commentary, Burnett kind of said, well, I think the Canucks have been dealing with it too in this series. Of course, Tyler Myers missed a game earlier in the series with an illness. Now, I did hear Rick Dhaliwal on Donnie and Dolly on Check TV say, you know, he's actually not hearing that the Canucks are dealing with any sort of flu. It was just kind of a one-off isolated thing with Tyler Myers. You know, look, Rick Tocchet was sick late in the regular season, right? If one or two guys have it on their team, there's certainly a chance that it's going around. I do kind of like, I feel like it would explain a lot of this series. If both teams have been dealing with the flu, why it's been such a slog to generate offense, why both teams have really struggled to put their stamp consistently on the series. I think that would make a lot of sense. But Andrew Burnett says the Preds may be dealing with a little bit of something going through the room. Rick Dhaliwal saying he is not hearing that about the Canucks, despite Tyler Myers missing a game due to illness earlier in the series. Lineup notes, as mentioned, Drancer saying that he expects to see the same lines at practice. And in fact, now he is saying that officially they've gone through their line rushes. No changes. So it remains Miller with Suter and Besser on the top line. Pettersson, Hoglander, Mikheyev, Teddy Bluger, Phil DiGiuseppe, Sam Lafferty, Elias Lindholm, Dakota Joshua, and Connor Garland. Neil Zaman is the only extra forward right now. Of course, Vasily Podkolzin was assigned to Abbotsford. He actually played for Abbotsford in their playoff game last night. So just the one extra forward in Nashville for the Canucks. And then on the blue line, Hughes Hronek, Susie Myers, Zadorov, Cole, Friedman, and Juleson are the extras. And really, as much as I'm not surprised that they haven't made changes at forward, even less of a surprise that they're rolling with the same defensive pairs, we have heard consistently throughout this series how happy Rick Tocchet is with that. The big four, he calls it, really the bottom two pairings of Susie Myers, Zadorov, and Cole. We've seen their minutes go up. We've seen Hughes and Hronek's minutes decrease a little bit. Now, is some of that due to physical ailments, the punishment Quinn Hughes is taking? Maybe. But I do think that's something to monitor here. Will we see that trend continue? This is something I want to get into with Sat in the next segment as well. Or do we start to see Quinn Hughes' ice time creep back up to more where it was in the regular season at some point? Betting odds. I'll skip the playoff forecast for today. But betting odds. Game 6 odds, courtesy of our friends at PlayNow. Canucks +110, so slight underdogs in Game 6. Nashville -130 favorites. So despite the fact that the Canucks have won 2 games in Nashville, again, it wasn't exactly dominant efforts that got them the wins in Nashville. So PlayNow likes this series to go the distance to result in a Game 7 at home on Sunday for the Canucks. The over-under in that one is 5.5, which is where it has been consistently in this series. I did think one note, the Preds individual goal total is 2.5. You can get the under at +110. Canucks defense has been pretty strong. I know it's either a second or a third string goalie for them, but the goaltending has been pretty strong for the Canucks in this series. Preds have gone over 2.5 twice in the 5 games, including 1 out of 2 at home. So you can get slightly better than even money, +110 on the Preds goal total, under 2.5. If you think the Canucks turn in another really stellar defensive performance, if you think they find a way to get the victory in Nashville tonight, that might be an interesting way to add some more value as well. Goal total for the Preds under 2.5 at +110. And I wanted to throw this one out there too. If you've been pulling your hair out in frustration with Elias Pettersson and his lack of production in this series, you can give yourself the little emotional hedge. Yeah, PD total points, 0, so under 0.5 total points at +100. So even money. So you throw a little money on that. Either Petey putting up another donut earns you some money, or, hey, you get to be happy despite the fact that you lose your bet because at least Pettersson gets on the score sheet. So you can do a little emotional hedge on your Elias Pettersson frustration right now by taking the under on 0.5 total points. Okay, that's the gambling odds. That is the whiteboard for today, May 2nd, as the Canucks are practicing down in Nashville. And this one, this text came in. I just turned on the radio, missed the whole Miller wearing Shelov shirt story. Could you please give me a recap? I need to know all about it. So JT Miller took the ice right off the bat at practice in Nashville wearing Artur Shelov's, as Murph called it, I think it was a pink/salmon paisley dress shirt. Drance thought it looked like a pajama shirt, but it was, I believe, a dress shirt. Artur Shelov specifically. Shelov didn't know that JT Miller was going to be doing this, so he was very surprised to see it on the ice. But Miller did a few spins like that, stayed out for a few minutes before he took it off and got into his green practice jersey. So JT Miller, man, keeping things light, keeping the mood light down in Nashville. Keep those texts coming in. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Canucks playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Sky Avenue Kitchen and Lounge. Discover Surrey's newest luxury dining experience. Experience the richness of Canadian cuisine prepared by a Michelin-recommended chef. Reserve your table today at skyavenue.com. Satyar Shah joins me next here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.